So y'all having a good time so far? So far so good, huh? Oh, good. We'll have fun together. If you don't know me, I think I know most people here. If you don't know me, Father Craig here at the cathedral. I'm Archbishop, I can't remember that word, Jones, Dean here. And I look over Lazarus Ministries, what I do. If y'all have been through our Lazarus weekends, I kind of do that full time during the week. Do a lot of counseling of that, and also I'm the headmaster of our school here next door. You saw the kids running around, so I missed today because we were having our big Thanksgiving meal over there with all the parents and grandparents come. So I have no idea what Bishop Chuck talked about today. So if anything I say contradicts what he said, scratch it. Listen to what I'm saying, okay? The next couple of hours, you will know everything you ever needed to know about intimacy, and you can go home if you need to after this. Okay. What you wish that? Yes, right. I wish that were true, right? But I'm just the warm-up band, right? Bishop Chuck and I are just the warm-up bands for the tomorrow afternoon, the big show. Father Mark Finley will be speaking. Right, he is just going to bring it. He's going to do all kind of stuff, what I hear. Some interpretive dance and I think some, right, prophetic miming or something. So, I can't wait. I told him yesterday, I like to go first, right? Because if you go first and bomb, you know, you'll forget about me, right? But if you're the last speaker and you bomb, you know, you leave thinking about that, right? So tomorrow, Father Mark, you bomb, then, you know, that's what they'll be thinking about. So no pressure on you. Yeah, a pathetic word, I think. Amen. I've been excited about this conference. We've been having our prophetic and our healing, and we get together and we pray about what we need to do. At the beginning of the year, you know, upcoming conferences, and we're just kind of stirring in my spirit, and I know other people also, about doing a conference, which you don't go to many conferences, that's just centered on intimacy, right? And with all the people that come to see me through ministry and counseling, that's probably the number one thing I run into, are people who just don't hear the Lord very well, you know, and we just have our baggage, right, all our stuff that we get healed from, but, you know, when I ask them about a situation, well, what is God saying to you in this, you know, it's like, you know, a deer in the headlights when you ask people that, or their struggle, they're struggling with guilt, especially their time with the Lord, and just so cultivating that relationship with God, hearing, you know, Him speak. Like I say, I deal with that more than anything, people, you know, or lack thereof, even in my own life, right? Learning how to hear His voice. So I'm excited about this, and I've been looking forward to it. I'm trying to figure out where to start here. I've got several places I want to start. John chapter 5, and again, Bishop Chuck may have used these verses today, or some of them. If you started anything like I did, I was saved in a Baptist church. Was actually going to college and was headed to a seminary, Baptist seminary. They had my, it was all planned out. You know, I was going to college and then finish my degree, and then they were going to send me to I think Southwestern Seminary, and that's where kind of my story began, because I was just. I was miserable. I was a Christian. I was guilty because I was miserable all the time. I dealt with a lot of depression or oppression, and didn't really know what was going on. And a friend of mine used to live here, came down to visit me. I was in Mobile, Alabama, and started talking to me about how the Holy Spirit had poured Himself out on this little church here. We used to be Church of the New Covenant, right where that building is right there. There was a little house there. I don't know if any of you remember that. Little L-shaped house Church of the New Covenant, and I came up here with him, and people laid hands. I think Bishop Chuck, he was just regular Chuck back then, and laid hands on me and prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it just radically changed my life. You know, something that I had taught against, because that's where I was raised, right? Not to believe that stuff, that when the last apostle died, John, then everything, you know, the Holy Spirit left and left them a book, you know, even though it didn't come to 300 years later. That's what I was really taught. But the Lord brought me to a place of such desperation that I was willing to hear anything, you know. There's got to be more than this. So when that happened to me, it set me on a different course of my life, changed my life, you know. And I started hearing the Lord speak to me apart from Scripture, you know, because I was taught that God doesn't speak apart from Scripture, you know. That if you're hearing any voice apart from that, you're hearing voices in your head, something's wrong with you, right? And so I started off real zealous for the Lord. I loved Him, you know. I was in the military when I first got saved. Got with a group when I was over in Germany called the Navigators. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They're kind of big in college campuses and military installations, and they're big into Scripture, you know, Scripture memory. I'm thankful to the Lord for that, because it gave me a really good foundation in that. And the guys I was with, one guy had memorized the whole New Testament, and he was starting on the Old Testament, you know. So we were big into that, just laying this foundation. And so my first introduction to intimacy with the Lord was these different acronyms like ACTS. You know, y'all ever heard of that one? You know, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You know, and so I would do that. You know, okay, it's adoration time. So, you know, didn't really know what that was. So, to the best of my ability, Lord, I adore you. You're awesome. Okay, confession. Lord, I confess my sins. You know, those that I committed or don't know anything. You know, then it's time for thanksgiving. And I just, well, I thought I just did that with adoration. You know, thank you, Lord. And then the supplication. I was pretty good at that. I had this yellow legal pad, and I would write people's names on it, you know, for supplication, right? I had about 3 pages of this just full of people, you know. So that was my prayer life, you know. And then reading and memorizing Scripture. You know. Again, I thank the Lord for that because it gave me a good foundation of Scripture, but there was no relationship involved. There was no listening, you know. There was no hearing, waiting on hearing the Lord in this relationship, you know, and struggling through knowing that God loved me here, because what Scripture said, but not really knowing it here, you know. We'll read Scripture in a minute. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. I just didn't know God, because that's cultivated, right, in this relationship with Him. All right, in John 5, this is a really cool verse. Once a year we have a Joel Summit. Any of you clergy, if you haven't been to our Joel Summit yet, we have it once a year, usually in, when did we have it, October, September, October? We just get together, spend a couple of days together, and with Scripture open, we're just talking about the grace. There's always usually a theme, you know. It's usually about the grace of God, the love of God, just this revelation that just comes forth. Robert, I think you were at the last one. It was awesome, wasn't it? Life-changing. In the last, I think we've done the last 3 years, and every year to me. But this past year, this particular verse I'm going to read was a real life-changer for me, and moving me I think, in my own walk with God and my intimate relationship with Him, moving me deeper. Okay, and this is, we can read 19, John chapter 5, verse 19. I'm not talking too fast, am I? Am I going okay? I'm used to teaching kids, you know, all day. I have 3 classes over there, so I'm having to adjust a little bit. So if I holler at you for not paying attention, just please forgive me. John chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the like manner." And again, Bishop Chuck may, and I'm sure he'll talk about that if he didn't talk about today. We know simply Jesus came to live, laid aside His rights as God, and came to live to show us how to live as man, right? And again, He did nothing unless it's something that He saw the Father doing or He heard the Father saying, where that was cultivated in relationship with Him. Okay, we got that. You know? So it's always an encouragement to me. And this next verse really just kind of shook me a little bit. It says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He is doing, and the Father will show Him greater than these, so that you will marvel." And simply, the Father's showing all things to the Son simply because He loves Him, right? Not because He did all these things or, you know, performed this. He showed Him all things simply because He loved Him. Okay? So now we're going to move to us because we, again, Jesus came as man to show man as how to live. Okay? Let's turn to John 14. Real quick on the way there, if you turn back to John 8, just I'll read these real quick and then we'll kind of set us up for John 14. John 8:28 kind of just reiterates John chapter 5. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, and you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative. I speak the things that the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. And I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God." So again, when we hear things like that, my tendency was to always say, well, this was Jesus. You know, of course, He's God. But no, this was Jesus as man. You know, this was Jesus as man cultivating, had already cultivated this awesome relationship with the Father, always hearing the Father's words, you know, and teaching those and only speaking those things that He heard the Father say. Okay, we know that. All right, now over to John 14. All right, Bubba, we'll see you, buddy. Okay. You take care, man. Of course, we know that John chapter 14, the upper room discourse, Jesus is speaking, and several times, John 14, 13, "Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name," Jesus is saying that, "I'll do it." John chapter 15. Verse 7. Familiar verses to us. "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you." Verse 16, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and that your fruit and go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you." All right, and 16. 23. In that day, Jesus said that a lot, meaning in that day, the day of Pentecost, right? When the Holy Spirit would come fill us, just like he did with Jesus. You will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Right? In reading those things through the years, you know, I always felt like that, and this is kind of tying into, it's not really about prayer, it's more about, you'll see where I'm going with it, more about intimacy, but that's part of it, right? It's conversation. That if you ask anything in my name, you know, I'll do it. It's kind of a tall order, but it's not saying that, like, oh yeah, in Jesus' name, or Father, in the name of Jesus. Like, if we don't tag that on there, right, then therefore he's not going to answer that prayer. What this means is, in simple forms, because I'm real simple, that asking in Jesus' name is though asking as though you were Jesus. Asking as though, him asking as though you were asking, right? As you're in Christ. It's not like, and my view used to be, you would kind of ask Jesus something and then he would turn around and ask the Father for you, right? And you would, and he kind of, we'll get that into a little bit about him interceding, but just showing you what that word really means. That's kind of my view of that always. Like, if I'm asking, you kind of ask Jesus and he kind of goes and asks the Father, or, you know, every time when the Father, when God looks at you, he always sees you in Christ. We have a Bible study the other night, and the guy was pretty much saying that God loves us because we're in Christ, right? I don't believe that. We're in Christ because God loves us, right? And that view is, the only thing good about me, or the good that God ever sees or loves about me, is just only because I'm in Christ. If I weren't in Christ, then he would not love me. That's what it was saying. Okay? So, that led to a lively discussion. But I'm building up to this, what he's fixing to say. Because Jesus says that. I mean, there's five or six times he's saying this. If you ask anything in my name, as though it is, as though Robert were there as Jesus asking the Father. Okay? In verse 25, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly of the Father. Isn't that cool? That's what he's telling his disciples. A day will come when I will just tell you plainly. You will hear plainly of the Father. And in that day you will ask in my name. There we go again. And I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. There we go. Okay? Jesus is not there requesting on my behalf. Okay? Here's what it says. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. That you ask, believing, receiving, because he loves you. As we read in John 17 in a minute, that he loves you with the same love that he loved Jesus. So why does God hear you and answer your prayer and you can ask anything? Simply because he loves you. And he loves you as much as he loved Jesus. So that was pretty, it's like I've heard that, you know, but all of a sudden I heard it. It was like, yeah, I see that, Lord. You know what I mean? The scripture, did that ever happen to you? Like, you all of a sudden heard it like you've heard something for the first time. It's really cool. And then it's John 17. I'll start in verse 13 because it's just really good. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy, and my joy may be made full in themselves. If you see things, you know, just two things that definitely was lacking in my life, lacking in the people, believers' lives that I see, and I say this all the time, that the most dangerous Christians are joyful Christians, right? Happy Christians. And Jesus speaks two things here. One, in 16, that these things I've spoken to you, 16:33, that in me you may have peace, in the world you have tribulation. But hear what he's saying. These things I'm speaking to you so that you can have peace within yourself. Okay? So that if you get a revelation, and I get a revelation, that the Father loves me as much as he loved Jesus, will that not give you peace? Right? We're always asking the Lord, give me your peace, right? I need peace in this situation. I want your peace. What greater peace inwardly could you have than knowing that the Father loves you as much as we'll see, and in the same way as he loves Jesus himself. Okay? Even in the world with tribulation, that gives me peace, right? And when I drift away from that, I'm like, God, bring me back, you know? Because that, more than anything, brings peace to my soul. But okay. Said that to say in 13, here we go again. But now I come to you, these things I speak in the world, these things I speak, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Okay? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from or out of the power of the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, Father, set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified or set apart in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, verse 20, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Right? And this whole prayer of unity that Jesus is praying here, you know, for them. And I've always read that as which is good about the unity of the body, you know. I'm praying that they may be all in unity. Okay? But hear what he's saying here. He said, I'm saying a prayer for these guys that are hearing this prayer, that they could be, they could have the same union or be, have the same, or be in unity, Father. Have this intimate union relationship that I have with you and the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what he was speaking to them and praying for them. Okay? That they may have this same unity. That what he was experiencing, they would in turn experience on that day, the day of Pentecost, when he would then come to live in them. Right? And I love this. I've just kind of got stuck on this first today. And the glory which you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Just like, Father, like we're one, I've given them this glory. Like something you receive. I've given it to them. They're going to receive this glory. And glory, of course, just so many different things. It's just the presence of God, right? The manifest presence. I was reading, looked it up somewhere even more. The manifestation of God's character. But here, even a most glorious condition for you and me, that you would have this most glorious condition deposited in you, a most exalted state where this glory that the Father had given Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came and rested on him, he had this awesome relationship. That very same glory, okay, is now yours in you. Okay? Clearing the decks, making it all possible for every single person. Did y'all get that? Let me say it again. The very same glory that he had that made it possible for him to be in such close union with the Father, you possess that. Right? You don't possess a different one than me. I don't possess a different one than you. Bishop Chuck doesn't have a different closeness with God because he possesses something different than you do. Jesus gave you the very same glory that he had. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. I and them, here's the glory. I and them, you and me, that we may be perfected in unity. That all of us, that we, you may be perfected in unity. Perfected in this union, this relationship. Having everything you need. That the world may know that you sent me and that you did love them. Again, that they may know that you love them even as you have loved me. Don't raise your hand. Can you really say that you know that? Can you really say that you really know in your knower that the Father loves you just as much as he loved Jesus and gave him all things? I can say I don't. But that's my journey. That's where I'm going, right? But I possess that glory. You follow me? I possess that ability, that capability of doing that. Okay? And here's 24, so cool. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. Okay? What does this unity look like? I'm talking about, yeah, we got to walk it out in our daily lives, but the greatest part of that unity is being with him where he is. Being with him. Right? I know that you're with him right now. I'm with him right now. You know, he's performing his works through me to some extent, I'm sure. Maybe, you know. But his heart, his desire, what he was saying then, here's my desire for you guys, that you be with me. Okay? I don't know if this statistic is right. And I don't know where they come up with it. You know, we heard that a lot through the election, you know, where they did all these polls. I've never been polled, you know. I don't know if you have. But the average pastor spends about 5 minutes a day with the Lord, you know. On the average, 5 minutes of prayer a day. It's because we don't have this revelation, right? Because we get a revelation of that God speaks to me just because he loves me. He loves me like he loved Jesus. And he's gonna give me all these things. He's going to speak to me. And he's going to, you know. And he wants to be with me. It's, you know, that gives me motivation, doesn't it? Doesn't you? So that they may see, they may be with me where I am, verse 24. So that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world, that we could see his glory. He wants us to be with him to see his glory. Right? O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, I've known you. And all these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and I will continually make it known in that day, so that the love, here again, this is just another way to put it, which is really cool, so that the love with which you loved them may be in them, and I in them. Again, so that the very love with which you loved me may dwell in them, and I in them. Okay? So, you all have it. That love is in you. The capability of not only God loving you, but you loving him back is there. Right? All the passion, all the burning desire is there. Right? And you see people who are just, you know, we use that term, this man, that guy, he's on fire for the Lord right now, right? He's just passionately going after these things. Okay? But you got to understand that there's nothing different about them than you. They have the same package that you have. Right? We just said the glory and the love is there, dwells in you. For him to love you, you love him back. Okay? We just say, God, fan it. Bring it forth. Consume me. And you hear all those songs. You know, I was thinking about this today, a song, you know, all-consuming fire. You know, this person was singing about all-consuming. For every song that came on, my little Pandora worship, I think I had it on either IHOP, one of the two, every song that was on there was about that. You know, God fanning the flame, the all-consuming fire, you know, consuming me, God, with this passion. And I used to think that was passion that I was trying to obtain. And as we hear around here all the time, no, that's where we start. We start with that. Right? You start with all of that already deposited in you. Isn't that encouraging? So when you come to this conference like this, to hear about all this intimacy with God and all these different kind of things, just think about you coming and you already have all the equipment that you'll ever need. And the Holy Spirit just comes and activates it, and kicks it, and lights it, and sets it ablaze, you know. Fans the flame because it's there in you. Amen. Okay, now we'll turn to 1 John real quick, and I'll finish with this, and then we'll come back and do something even cooler. The second part. When I was in the Army, we would be in class. We'd sit on these really long tables, and it was hard to stay awake, you know, because, you know, you're up late, and they got you up at 4:15 in the morning and ran you around all day. You had to run everywhere you went and hollering at you and doing push-ups and everything. But when you were in there and you would nod off, they would say the word jam, like, jam. And what you would do is you'd throw your arms out like that. Jam, wham. Well, if that person's sitting beside you and on the right and to the left, if y'all were all awake, then your arms would block each other's hit, right? But if you were not, if you were asleep, then the person on your right and your left, their hands would pop you in the face. So I'm going to holler that in a minute. So if y'all are dozing off, so throw your arms out like that. I'm just teasing. I know it's hard. I'm getting sleepy too up here. 1 John chapter 4. This is really cool. These are real familiar verses to us. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God or has been begotten of God and knows God, or everyone who is loving, that's what it's written. The one who does not love does not know him, for God is love. We know that. By this, the love of God was made real in us, manifested, or brought to light, illumined, that word, made visible, made plain in us. In you, just like we've been talking about. By this, the love of God was made real in you, that God has sent his only Son so that we might live through him, through this reality, through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jumping down here real quick, we'll just finish with this. We have come to know, you know that word know there is intimately, right? We have come to know intimately and have believed the love which God has for us. For God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, his love is matured within us or perfected, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. And that word judgment is really the word for accusation. Listen to it in this context. By this, love is perfected with us because we've come to know it, and we're believing it because we're coming to know it, right? That we may have confidence in the day of accusations. The enemy is what? The accuser of the brethren. He's always hurling accusations against you. But as you're maturing and perfected in God's love, you don't listen to it, right? You know where it's coming from. That we may have confidence in the day of accusation, because as he is, so also are we in this world. And there is no fear in love. And I'll end with this. This perfect love of God cast out all fear, however it manifests, worry, anxieties. Because fear... says fear involves punishment, but actually the word punishment is torment. Because fear involves torment. Right? Have you ever known that? Fear's torment. Mental torment, isn't it? Torments you. And however it plays itself out with you, you know, and worrying or anxiety or control or all those things. It involves torment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Amen. We'll stop there with this one, and then let's take about a 5-minute break-ish, and then we'll finish up. We'll get up and stretch and get some coffee or something. Amen.